WUGA presents the Artist in Residence series, a series of events each month at the home of a different local artist. This month's event takes place Saturday, March 24th at the home of mixed media artist Lisa Freeman. Lisa, thanks for coming in.
Well, hello, Michael.
Let me start out. Can I ask you to tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became an artist?
How I became an artist, it's probably one of the answers that everybody gives. We always are an artist from the beginning. You know, we're all artists, but just some of us just continue. And I was the one that continued.
Okay. So. Where are you from?
Originally, I was born in Toronto. And I grew up in the Midwest, Ohio, Michigan, Illinois. We moved to Georgia in 1979 when I was 14. So that was a culture shock right there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I bet.
Like, oh, my God. What are we doing here, Dad? There were no libraries within, in 79, there was nothing.
Oh, wow.
It was just very strange.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that was a definite culture shock. How long did it take you, do you think, to adjust, or are you still adjusting?
I always called myself somebody that, you know, I live in Georgia, but I'm not originally from here. I always tried to excuse Georgia until I realized that I was not owning up to where I lived. And it was embarrassing because the South tends to be talked down about. And I realized that I was actually one of those people that was doing it unintentionally.
Unintentionally.
But now I say that I am from Georgia because I've been here most of my life.
Right. I understand. So what you as you referenced earlier, everybody's an artist. You just continued. That's an interesting perspective. So you started out, obviously, then very young, and you just never stopped. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. I just never stopped. I always drew, but all kids do.
Right.
And I was a really quiet kid. I was the one that was kind of, I was invisible, or I wanted to be invisible, so I just created the worlds in my notebook.
Did you study art in college?
No, I don't have any formal education.
Okay. As your art has developed over the years, can you point to anyone who has really been a strong influence on you?
When I was painting, it would be Alice Neal. When I moved over to assemblage, I mean, I think everybody influences you. Kara Walker is another one as far as my assemblage or making sure that I make a statement with each piece, being aware of the intent of my pieces.
Yeah.
So she's really big with that. Banksy, because he reaches the people. And I would love to do that, but I can't climb buildings and such, so I can't do that.
Can you explain what that means? I don't know who that is.
Banksy is a street artist.
Okay.
He does graffiti work, and you should look him up.
Because
he actually does, he went to Gaza and did a series of wall pieces there in Gaza.
Okay. So. When I asked you a minute ago about other artists who influence you, can you, going back to your painting reference, you mentioned Alice Neal. How would we have seen her influence in your painting?
Subject matter. She painted portraits of people that she knew. I didn't do that, but I always focus on figurative. I always paint people. I did a whole series. When I did a painting, it was called Old Man Boy, and that was like the beginning that I didn't know was a series of children.
Yeah.
So it went from there. But it was just the way her technique, I guess, is what I...
Right. Yeah. Now, we were talking before we went on the air, and you mentioned that you don't paint very much now, and you've transitioned into the assemblage art.
Yeah.
What prompted that, or was that something that just developed naturally?
Well, I always have collected stuff. I've always collected objects and been drawn to things that hold a history behind them. They have a personality. And I didn't really take assemblage seriously while I was painting. And I always did some collage and some things from time to time. But I really moved over into assemblage because the painting was starting to become difficult because of my arm problem. I have chronic pain in my arms and wrists.
Okay.
So making the motion was becoming
painful.
I couldn't really lose myself in it anymore.
I understand. So. What do you think is your best known work? What are you most well known for?
Probably recently the ones that I've been getting into the shows, the miniature worlds, the little...
Can you describe those?
Well, they really started out as more of a wall piece, like they look like little dollhouses.
Okay.
They look like dollhouses. They're all set, or most of them are put on like a Lazy Susan so they can be spun by hand.
Sure.
But they're all meant to be viewed. They're meant to be viewed from all the way around. Mm-hmm. And they might appear to be little dollhouses and something cute and whimsical mm-hmm. until you look closely and you realize what some of the pieces are about.
What are they about?
Well, one is actually called Hiroshima Holiday. So that one's kind of obvious from the beginning.
I've been told that some of your newer works reference a Syrian refugee camp. Can you talk about these pieces?
Yeah, those, okay, I tend to start out when I begin one of these worlds with a certain face of, they always are about children. Mm-hmm. And I tend to gravitate towards children because they're the vulnerable ones mm-hmm. and we were all kids.
Yes.
So we all have felt that way at some point. And the refugee camp was really only my second one that was more of a contemporary scene. Mm-hmm. And I have to speak about the displaced people.
Right.
So that's why.
You mentioned children. Your portrayal of children can sometimes look a little haunting as
yeah.
opposed to, say, sometimes charming, but more
yeah.
haunting. Why haunting?
I would say it's probably the loneliness that we all feel.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it's expressed in the children that you're
yeah,
portraying.
Yeah.
What materials do you use in your assemblages?
Found objects, things that I've had around the house. I have a lot of friends that I've made over the years mm-hmm. being in Athens that look for objects for me. They'll come across. Pat has brought me a lot of things, Pat mm-hmm. Priest. Mm-hmm. I have a friend named Lewis, and he uses the metal detector, and he goes out on his property, and he brings back just stuff that he finds.
Right, so right.
On my walks, I find a lot of things.
Really? Okay.
Thrift stores. Mm-hmm. I go to a lot of thrift stores, and so.
Going back to the source material, we talked already about the Syrian refugee camp. Can you talk about some of the other subjects that you've tackled with your art?
Some of the other subjects, one that the piece that I just got into, Southworks, the OCAF juried show, mm-hmm. is my piece called Jewels of Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really my first piece that I was dealing with contemporary issues in miniature.
I understand you've also depicted a lynching. Is that correct?
Yeah, and some of my wall pieces, but not yet in the miniature world, although mm-hmm. I think that's coming.
And you've also yeah. addressed even the Holocaust in your work.
Yes.
Anything in particular that moved you to do that?
These are just subjects that I've always been drawn to since I was a child. My mm-hmm. dad had a lot of books. I read Hiroshima by John Hershey when I was 10.
Mm-hmm.
He had the Life magazine book of photos on the bookshelf. I was just drawn to subject, like people in situations where any of us could end up depending upon the time and place that we're born.
Yeah.
So it could be any of us.
Right. Many of your pieces use a photo of a girl. Can you tell us about that photo and why it resonates with you?
Well, that's Little Girl. I just call her Little Girl. Mm-hmm. She was a gift from a friend of mine, Peter Luce. He's a local artist. And I pretty much begged him for the photo. And this was before I was making assemblage work.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted, for some reason, I wanted her. And so he finally gave it to me. And I've used her as a witness in many of the series that I've done where she witnesses mostly atrocities that we as people have committed on one another.
Hmm.
But she sees good stuff, too.
She sees good stuff,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, she does.
So she's not...
But she's just letting us know that this stuff is not okay and that
right.
we can...
Very good.
Yeah.
Do you know who she is?
No. It's a family member of his, and he has no idea who it is.
Okay.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, you're quite the prolific artist. Does that present a storage problem for you?
Yeah, it does. Everything is for sale.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Everything is for sale. That's
everything,
good.
Everything except for Old Man Boy.
Old Man Boy.
He's mine.
Are we going to get to see Old Man Boy?
He is, yes. He is actually on the wall before you go down into my studio space.
So we'll get to see him. What
yeah.
else are we going to see when we come visit?
Well, I have work all throughout the house. I have work in my main living space. I have the main storage is one of the spare bedrooms upstairs. Mm-hmm. And I've moved a lot of things up there because I don't like a lot in the studio. I don't like old stuff surrounding me. I like fresh.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. Very good. And is there anything that I really haven't asked you about your art or your background that you'd like to talk about, that you'd like to, our listeners to hear before we come and visit you?
No, give me some.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
That's the open door that I mentioned
earlier.
Okay,
the open door. I use a lot of doors in my work.
Oh, okay.
A red door comes up in my work a lot. I use it as a portal to something else, because that's what doors are.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a red door on my house in Springfield when I was a kid, mm-hmm. so I just have used that continuing theme. And the red door isn't always good.
Oh.
It's just a door that goes into something that we need to address. I have a red door in my house, too. So.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. And then little girls on the door in the house, mm-hmm. so you'll see it.
We've been speaking with Lisa Freeman, WUGA's featured artist in residence this month. The event celebrating her work takes place from 3 to 5 p.m. at her home on Saturday, March 24th. For more information or to RSVP, contact Kathy Bradbury at wuga@uga.edu, or you can give us a call at 706-542 WUGA. That's 706-542-9842. For WUGA, I'm Michael Carden.